Good morning and a very warm welcome to our online service for Easter Day. The intention was to record the certain aspects of the service in the church service, i.e. the gospel, the prayers, the sermon. But unfortunately, due to your vicar's technical glitches with running a new system, the service was not recorded. So I've recorded my sermon after the service this morning with Angela reading the gospel, and hopefully those listening will gain some strength from this. It's been a privilege to journey with Christ through this Holy Week and to celebrate today once again his resurrection. Our hymn at the end of the service will be "Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son," which was recorded at the College of the Resurrection, where I trained for ordination.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them then what he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Apparently, in India, there is a saying, "Everything will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, then trust me, it's not yet the end." So I remembered when I watched the 2012 film, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, recently. Set in India, a group of English pensioners moved to a retirement hotel there, run by the young and enthusiastic Sonny. The first time we hear this phrase, one of the pensioners is complaining to Sonny that she wants to stay in a place like the picture in the hotel brochure. Sonny points out that this is a vision of the future, the full potential. But we are not quite there yet. Everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then trust me, it's not yet the end. In a sense, this is what the resurrection appearances are about. Snapshots of the future reality, when the veil between heaven and earth is lifted for a few moments. And today, on this Easter day, we hear once again John's account of the first such resurrection appearance. Mary, supposed Jesus to be the gardener, heard the Lord speak her name, and recognition came for her. An overwhelming moment as she encountered her risen Lord, whom she had seen beaten and crucified. It is hard to imagine how she must have felt in this moment, a moment that would remain with her for the rest of her life. In the aftermath, she would have reflected on this many times. Remember, she was the one who had anointed Jesus, or could have been one of those who had anointed Jesus on his feet with the very expensive perfume at Lazarus's home. She would have reflected on being the very first person to see Jesus risen, having discovered the empty tomb and led Peter and John to the place where she had expected to find Jesus' body. As the disciples left her weeping at the tomb, in that moment Christ came to her, not a prolonged meeting, but a transformative, life-changing encounter. So profound, so joyful, so marvellous, quite naturally she wanted to hold on to him. But it could not be so, because Jesus had not yet ascended to the Father. When Jesus ascends to the Father is more obvious in the Synoptic Gospels, but for John, we're not sure. After all, a week later, Thomas is invited to touch Jesus in order to solidify his faith. John's Gospel is detailed, and the resurrection encounters are varied, unique and progressive. But for Mary, in this first resurrection encounter, she is left filled with hope and joy. Tears of grief become tears of elation, but she cannot hold on to him. She cannot stay in the moment, but now she knew that death was not the end. But equally, the resurrection too was not the end. Everything will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, then trust me, it's not yet the end. And that's the point with this and all the historical resurrection experiences that are recorded for us. A changing point in human history, but also the beginning of the final chapter. When we look at the world around us and consider what is happening and has happened throughout history, everything is not all right. And therefore, the resurrection cannot be the end of the story. Christ has risen. And Christ has now ascended, and to where he has actually ascended is part of the resurrection mystery. A mystery in that the presence of Christ can be as close to us now as he was then, with the same element of surprise and brevity, reassurance and joy. Though the mode of that experience cannot be the same, but nonetheless it is personal and unique for everyone. So let us turn our attention to the picture on the service sheet. And this picture, for those who are listening to this recording, is an artistic interpretation by the late Graham Sutherland on the text from John's Gospel, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended." The picture depicts the moment of the first realization by a mortal that Christ had risen from the dead. It's called Noli Me Tangere, or Touch Me Not, and can be seen on the altar of the Mary Magdalene Chapel in Chichester Cathedral. The striking colours of the painting are probably due to the artist using his French villa as the set for the painting. It is full of symbolism, and one can ponder this endlessly. On my recent retreat, as I studied this, I observed that Christ's left arm is pointing up to where he must go, but his right hand is blessing Mary. She may not be able to hold on to him or physically go with him, but Christ gives her his blessing and protection as he stands on the stairway to heaven. His arms and legs are toned, well defined, but his haunched back is symbolic of having borne the pain and sin of the world. The hat Jesus is wearing is identical to the one worn by Sutherland's gardener. Mary's gaze is towards Jesus, looking to the other dimension that is so close. What would come next for her, as she learned to know Jesus in a new way until she too would climb the stairs herself one day? So what for us? Are we too not being invited to kneel close to the stairs, keeping Christ in our own sight, living life in the kingdom? For Jesus did call us to continue his work. This Easter day is a new beginning in itself, living Christ, living the life of Christ, as we seek to discern his presence with us now and to do his will. The resurrection is not the end, because everything is not our right. When I wrote the outline of this sermon whilst on retreat at Murfield recently, that evening our office hymn at Evensong was one that seemed to affirm everything I've tried to say today. Written by Ray Palmer in the 19th century, it's not a well-known hymn, but let me close using his words, which spoke to me that evening. Jesus, these eyes have never seen that radiant form of thine. The veil of sense hangs dark between thy blessed face and mine. I see thee not, I hear thee not, yet thou art oft with me, and earth hath ne'er so dear a spot as where I met with thee. Yet, though I have not seen, and still must rest in faith alone, I love thee, dearest Lord, and will, unseen but not unknown. When death these mortal eyes shall seal, and still this throbbing heart, the rending veil shall thee reveal, O glorious as thou art. Amen.
Amen.
the final blessing. And before I give the blessing, just to say, because I'm on holiday next week, there will be no audio service released next weekend. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.